This episode is brought to you by Bye Bye Baby. With over 135 locations across the U.S., there's no better place to get rid of a baby. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, news you missed. Jack shoots for stardom. An interview with Sir Winston Chelsea.
How you doing, Brian?
Good, Jack. How are you?
Oh, good. You're so natural with your banter. Those classes are paying off.
Do I come across as relaxed?
You do.
Thank you.
And you work with Al Gore's guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, really good work.
He made Al seem like a human being.
A human being.
Happy Christmas. Merry Hanukkah, Jack.
And to you, Brian.
And Happy New Year coming up.
Yes. You know what's neat about this new year?
No, Jack. Please tell me what is neat about this new year.
Okay. But you know how I said your banter was good earlier?
Yes, Jack.
I think it still needs some work.
I'm tensing up.
So this is the end of this decade.
I know. My kids keep reminding me. You know what they keep saying? Oh, Dad, just so you know, the 80s will be 40 years ago.
Oh, is that what they say?
Yeah. They're just rubbing it in.
That's messed up.
Because they know the 80s is my decade.
That's right. And so it just sort of reminds you that your life is over, half over.
That's right. That's correct. What are you doing for Christmas, Jack?
My mother and my wife's mother are coming to visit.
Two mommies. So both moms are coming.
Both moms are coming. You have kids. The moms have to come to us.
Well, I wish I could say my mom was coming to Christmas, Jack.
That's right. She died of cancer.
Yep. You did it, Jack. I'd like to think you did.
You'd like to think that?
Yeah.
How do you imagine I gave your mother cancer in 1979?
Coughing.
Just from cough?
You're probably a little baby. You walked by or coughed and then she came down with it.
So I gave her airborne cancer?
Probably. Yeah. I know a lot about science. I've been on Google, Jack. So ask me a question and I got an answer.
Oh, good.
Autism.
How do you get autism?
My vaccines, Jack.
How do you get gout?
By vaccines, Jack.
Oh, no. How do you get rid of measles?
Vaccines, Jack. Oh, you got me.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm chilling with my wife and kids and her family.
Oh, that's right. I believe you may have told us that on the podcast.
Yeah.
The problem is I don't listen to the podcast.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You should. It's funny. It's entertaining.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
But the problem is don't be weirded out by this. Don't take this personally because it's not about you.
Okay.
But I'm not a fan of yours.
Of me personally?
Yes.
Of my, is it the dry delivery that you don't like?
It's
the voice?
As a performer, I mean, I like you and you make me laugh. It's the person behind the performer.
You as a person, you don't like me.
Yeah, but I don't take it personally. Don't be weird.
No,
about
I don't
it.
See why I would.
Yeah, but so that's why. So I haven't really checked it out. But you say it's good.
I enjoy the times that I listen to it.
So I didn't ask for anything for Christmas this year, except I thought it might be fun to get an Oculus. You know what an Oculus is?
Yeah,
yeah.
My kids have one.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's for those of you who don't know, it's a VR
headset. Yeah.
So I tried it for the first time with my friends in October, and it was fantastic. It was really interesting. And my wife is going to get it for me, but then she realized that you can use it for porn. And now she thinks that I'm not allowed to get it because I can use it for pornography videos.
Well, I mean, why is that a problem?
I don't know. I guess that she doesn't want to spend money to allow me to make eye contact with the ladies.
Does she care about that?
Apparently. I mean, she's brought it up enough times that I'm now not allowed to get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. You should marry a European lady. They don't seem to care.
Does she have no issue with that?
She wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She doesn't care.
Okay. What does and doesn't bother her in that general realm of checking other women out or fantasizing about other women or cheating on, I mean, like any of that stuff to what degrees?
Fairly unfazed, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't get jealous. I can certainly talk. I can be like, oh my God, that woman's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And she does the same thing. Like, oh, look, that guy's so handsome.
Right before we started the show, she talked about how Andrew Heaton was here and that she'd love to
No, she was joking, but
she was joking. Yeah. Just how, of course, she was joking.
She said, "Oh, he's super handsome, he's an attractive guy." Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah." Doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
I've gone out with girlfriends, you know, for dinner and stuff. For the old lady, I'm not like Mike Pence. I'm okay with going out with. I'm not going to leap over the table and attack them.
Right.
The European sensibility is much more chill.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it is? Because that is definitely a cultural, just even the way they look at affairs.
Yeah, that's different too. Like she always told me her first job as a nanny, she was like an au pair for this family in France. When they were hiring, she had heard about it through the grapevine that the guy had slept with his previous au pair. So she made herself look as frumpy as possible so that the wife wasn't jealous and she could get the job.
Did he ever, and he never hit on her?
I mean, French guys always, they're very, very, very flirty. There was one occasion when I had a girl I was dating and we were in France and we were at a bar and we had met these people, French guys, and they were very nice and we were having a good time. And my girlfriend at the time went off to go to the bathroom. And then she comes back and she goes, I want to go home. I want to go back to the hotel. I want to leave. Very flustered. Like, okay. So we go back to the hotel and that's when she told me that one of the guys followed her into the bathroom and tried to kiss her. And I was like, okay, that's very French. And then
very rapey.
But it's more just kind of like they think they have some kind of connection, some kind of vibe with you.
Fall into a bathroom and train. That's okay.
So now we flash forward to my stepbrother's wedding in France and the band, one of the musicians in the band basically walked up to my wife. And he knew that she was married and was just like, would you like to go in the closet and have sex?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Just they're very, very forward.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did she find the sex?
She said it was exhausting. I didn't see it for the rest of the wedding.
Wow. Yeah. No,
the band didn't even play because he was the lead singer.
And it was REO Speedwagon. Is that right?
It was REO Speedwagon. Jack.
Yes, Brian.
So my friend Brad, the director.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. Remember last time you auditioned for some films and stuff?
I did.
Yeah. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I didn't hear back from him.
Well, because you failed to stay in character, Jack.
Oh, shoot.
So, you know, he likes to audition you on the podcast.
Okay.
And it's very, very important that you don't break character.
Okay. So the key is to read this script cold.
Read it cold. You've never seen this script.
Which is true.
You're not going to see my responses.
Okay.
Because that's just the way he likes to cast.
So I'm gonna hold a script in my hand in a moment.
Yes.
And all of your parts will be blacked out. So I have no idea what's coming.
That's right.
And I just need to not break character.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I understand the rules.
Okay. This movie is called Stop the Presses.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a movie about a magazine.
Oh, it sounds like that type of movie usually gets Oscar buzz.
Yeah, because what was that? Spotlight was the one about,
All
the President's Men.
Yes.
Yeah. No, this is a huge Hollywood role.
Oh my gosh.
For a film Brad's directing. So this is set in a magazine editor's office.
Okay.
Okay. And you would be playing the role of Jim.
Okay.
Okay. And you're just kind of like, you're really cool, like journalistic type. We've been working this magazine for a long time.
So I've been working there a long time. Would you say I'm kind of like a cool rebel journalist?
You're a serious journalist.
Okay. Serious
magazine
journalist.
Is everything to you.
Okay.
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 And I'm just playing the role of Bruce.
Okay. And it's called Stop the Presses.
Stop the Presses. Have a seat, Jim.
Talk to me.
We're shutting down Sexy Naked Ladies magazine.
What? What do you mean?
Subscriptions are down 76%. People looking for sexy naked ladies are going elsewhere.
But we've been in business for nearly 50 years. You owe everything to
sexy naked ladies. I know. But the fact is the times have changed and sexy naked ladies is a casualty.
I dedicated my life to this magazine. My whole existence centered around
sexy naked ladies. I know. It's been a good run. I'm sorry, Jim.
I want to cry.
I'd give you a tissue, but we're always out of them here.
God. How'd I do?
You kind of botched at the beginning and the end, to be honest.
Yeah,
it seems like you lost character in the beginning and then you kind of broke up at the end.
Do you think like the middle would show that I have the chops to?
You know how he is. He's very, very strict.
Damn it.
That's okay. We've got more movies.
It would help if I read this beforehand.
Yeah, he doesn't like that.
Okay.
All right. Now this one is a Western that he's going to be directing.
Okay.
It's going to be shot in Arizona.
Okay.
All right. And you'd be playing the role of Jonah, and you're a tough sheriff, okay? You're coming from another town, and you're basically coming in on your horse into this town of Brushwood.
Brushwood. Right? Okay.
Yeah. And you're approaching this guy, Boris. That's me.
Boris.
Who's just kind of standing there near a horse.
Okay. And what's the name of the movie?
The Mighty and the Damned.
Whoa.
The
wow.
Yeah.
Classic Western name.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to get this one.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to do the exterior?
Exterior, okay. Main Street in Brushwood.
Have you seen this feller? He's wanted for cattle rustling.
Yeah, I seen him. He came into town on a big old dog-like thing, and it was like a dog, but real big, and you could sit on it because it had a seat on the top.
A horse with a saddle?
Nope. It was a big dog-like thing with a mane, a big tail, and it had a thing in its mouth and ropes.
Reins?
Yeah, probably.
So a horse?
Nah, I doubt it.
Okay, whatever. Where'd it go?
The sleep place. The place where people sleep. They pay money and they get a key to the room they can sleep in. It's like a bedroom, but you don't own it.
A hotel.
Nah, that's not it. Say, mister, what's that thing in your pants?
That's Walter. Say hi, Walter. Oh, come on. Why? Why?
Man. So close.
That's the writing.
It's so close.
Screw this. I did good there until that.
That's a shame. Oh, God, you're so close.
That's Walter. Oh, come on.
It's too bad. I know
so Brad's, you think I'm 0 for 2?
I think Brad, yeah, I'd say 0 for 2.
And this guy's a legit, you're not making this up. You have a legitimate friend who directs Hollywood motion pictures.
He's directed Halle Berry, Michael Caine, Ben Kingsley.
The big three.
Yeah, the big three. okay, that's okay. We got two more films he's working on.
Yeah. All right.
This one is called The Founder's Dilemma.
Okay.
It's set in the 1700s,
ooh,
right after the Revolutionary War.
I feel another Oscar nom type.
It's got a lot of potential here.
Okay.
And you'd be playing the role of Thomas Jefferson.
Oh.
He thought you kind of looked like Thomas Jefferson, and he found you his words were very Jeffersonian.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is Jefferson addressing Ben.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Interior, Independence Hall.
Okay. Ben, we have an opportunity to create the greatest country this world has ever seen, founded upon the principles of liberty and freedom. There's been nothing like it in the world. Are you with me?
Meow.
That's a good point, Ben. But that's one of many factors we'll have to consider as we create this country's constitution. And we need to consider that man is fallible and has a tendency to gravitate towards tyranny. Right. Brilliant, Ben. Absolutely brilliant. But what would we call it?
Meow.
The Bill of Rights. I like it. I like it a lot.
Meow.
Indeed. Placing restraints on the government as opposed to the individual. A novel idea. Of that, I'm certain. What the heck?
Yeah.
What's the dilemma?
I guess
the founder's dilemma?
I guess that Ben Franklin's a cat.
Well, maybe next time. So, you know how you're a toy manufacturer?
Oh, yes. I'm a toy manufacturer. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I broke into your workshop the other day to try some of your wife's clothes on, and I found like some of your hottest toys of the season.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could sort of tell me about the toy and like explain what it does or the thinking behind it, that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know, for Christmas.
Sure.
So these are some of your toys.
Yes. My toys.
Yeah. So, the first one is the Uncle Gary doll.
Uncle Gary doll. It's a doll that's designed to teach children about mental illness.
Oh.
Yeah.
How does it work?
He does random things. So he might just go wander and stand in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And mumble to himself as he faces the corner.
Uh-huh.
So that's one thing he can do.
Okay.
He might think that the sockets are talking to him, so he unscrews all the sockets in the house. So you come home and all the sockets are disassembled and the kids are like, oh, Uncle Gary, what are you doing? And he's like, do you hear that? Do you hear the voices? And then he points to the sockets.
Wow. So he thinks like ghosts live in your sockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And
Uncle
Gary doll. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It seems, here's an interesting one. I don't know why you would do this. White militia action figures.
Yeah. White militia action figures. I mean, there's a very small fringe group of children mm-hmm. that are underserved by the toy community.
Right.
You know, we have, standard army figures and G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
But they don't have like the self-taught G.I. Joes, the ones who kind of created their own boot camp and their own military experience.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So if you look at them, you'll see they haven't had to go through the kind of physical conditioning mm-hmm. that you'd find in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines,
right.
Coast Guard.
Sure.
This is more like, you know, a couple of guys get together on a Saturday mm-hmm. and go plinking some cans. Mm-hmm. And then have a couple of brews and some hamburgers.
Huh.
And as you can see, it's got, you know, they're all different. Like they have, their uniforms aren't exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
If you see this one here, like he's got the desert camo cargo pants.
Yeah, I see that.
But this guy is just wearing sweatpants with some kind of Confederate flag sewed on the side.
Oh yeah, I see that.
And this guy's got, actually it's a German Wehrmacht steel helmet.
With a Clemson football t-shirt.
Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah, they just kind of do their, it's kind of a mishmash, but it's more realistic. And so it's fun for kids to play with.
Is it?
I would hope so.
Here's something maybe a little more friendly. BFF dolls.
BFF dolls.
Yeah.
Yep.
That sounds friendlier.
Yeah. Well, it stands for British Fundamentalist Fighter. Yeah. They're modeled after British girls who grow up in the suburbs of London. Mm-hmm. And then they get disenchanted with life at home.
Right.
And so they seek adventure abroad.
Oh, how exciting.
Finding a boyfriend who's a member of a murderous bunch of maniacs in Syria. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she basically sneaks her way over there via Turkey. And then they burn their passports. You can have these, you know, these little passports. They pretend to burn them. And then they become an ISIS bride.
Accessories are big. Oh, an ISIS bride.
Yeah.
Well, that's really neat.
Yeah.
ISIS brides.
Yeah. British Fundamentalist Fighters, BFF dolls.
Here's a toy. Box of matches.
Box of matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what, I mean, it seems like a dumb question, but what is it?
It's a box full. There's 150 picture cards of Pakistani men who are looking for a bride. And what happens is it's a fun game. So you basically team up with your friends. You draw 12 cards each.
Okay.
And then it's kind of like a go fish. And at the end, you have a selection of men, one of whom you have to marry. He's your match. Box of matches.
Box of matches.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, as a dad, do you have any issues with that?
I don't have a daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. So that's
it doesn't, I don't think about it at all.
Uh-huh. You know, so let's say my 8-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. What happens? You know, like she has to wait 10 years and then she has
there's no waiting. No. She gets on a plane. She goes to Islamabad.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And gets married right there on the spot.
And happily ever after. Yeah. You might even have 3 other wives to help you around the house.
Yeah. I kind of want more for my daughter. How much
that makes one of us, Jack.
Here's the last one. It's just called Dildo.
Yeah, Dildo.
Yeah.
It's a puppet.
Oh, Dildo the puppet?
Yeah.
What's the character of Dildo?
It's a pickle.
Okay.
It's a Dildo the pickle.
So is it a talking pickle? Or?
Yeah, it's a pickle.
What does he talk about?
MILFs.
I'm not buying that for my kids.
That's pretty much that's what all the Amazon reviews say.
And this has been Brian's Toys.
You miss a lot of news every week, don't you?
I do.
And you know who finds that news?
Who?
Me do.
You do?
Yes.
Yay.
Because, you know, the Trump news cycle every week, there's so much news that stuff falls through the cracks, right?
Right.
And I go out there and I find these news articles and I bring them to you and the listeners so you can enjoy them and learn what's going on in the world around you.
I appreciate that. You are doing a service and I thank you for it.
Thank you, Jack. This is the news that you missed. Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, Jack, some individuals are condemning a new voting system being proposed by the Federal Election Commission. Critics of the click and move system say that it's confusing, arbitrary, and ripe for abuse. However, supporters say click and move eliminates the Electoral College, which is traditionally despised by whoever most recently lost the election. So the way the system operates, Jack, is very simple or difficult depending on who you talk to. So everyone calls Barry Thomas of Wayne, Idaho to register their vote. When Barry answers, you just say the combination of click and moo sounds that corresponds with your candidate and you hang up. Barry will then record the vote, compile the results, and then send them via fax to Voting Claus, a supernatural figure who lives in the South Pole. At midnight on election day, Voting Claus will then drop the winning candidate down the White House chimney, and everyone lives happily ever after.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like that should trump in the news cycle. That's big news.
That is big news, right?
Yeah. I mean, that
click and moo.
Click and moo. Yeah. That seems like the media is really not. Oh, who did you just vote for?
Oh, she's like, oh my God.
Oh no. Who did you vote for?
Marianne Williamson. Damn.
Wow.
That was a waste.
Yeah. What, any other stories?
Yes, Jack. On Monday, a new law went into effect, signed by beloved Governor Andrew Cuomo, who looks like an angry gangster, but is really the happiest man on earth, according to his spokesman. The law gives undocumented immigrants the right to obtain New York State driver's licenses, despite the fact they are not legally in the United States. The new law was hailed by people who, ironically, don't obey laws. State officials plan to release a series of videos showing New York drivers what to do when someone in violation of immigration law, yet who possesses a legal license, drives their presumably uninsured and unregistered automobile into the rear end of your car.
Huh.
Yeah.
That story feels very on the nose.
I think so.
Huh. Okay. So that certainly, I mean, those are two huge stories. That must be it.
No, there's more, Jack. What? So much news falls through the cracks.
Okay, well, what's another story?
Democratic presidential candidate Julian Castro wanted to remind everyone that he's still running for president of the United States, just in case anyone out there forgot. According to the website Real Clear Politics, Castro's polling average is around 1%, which puts him slightly ahead of someone named Bennett and an injured butterfly that's currently polling at 0.8%. Now, during a chat with a reporter that he cornered, Castro said he was worried that folks might have somehow gotten the idea that he had stopped running for president, but he said that the opposite was true, and he still very, very, very much wanted to be the Democratic presidential nominee and wanted to be taken seriously. While repeatedly checking his text and voicemail messages to see if anyone was calling, Castro said that the low polling numbers proved that America was racist and full of people who would not vote for a Latino candidate that they'd never heard of. Now, the number of reporters assigned to Castro has shrunk recently, with some being dispatched to cover stories about heavy traffic or to take photos of clouds. Guess what?
What?
More news.
No.
A Los Angeles man wants everyone to know he's flying business class to Tokyo. 28-year-old Daniel Patrick Henley of Sherman Oaks has posted no fewer than 6 Instagram updates since arriving at LAX Airport early this morning. Although never actually mentioning business class so as to appear humble, all of Henley's selfies are strategically framed so as to include the telltale signs of business class in the background. The latest photograph, titled Tokyo Here I Come, features Henley giving a thumbs-up gesture to the camera, taken at an angle that emphasizes the size of his seat and includes his complimentary glass of champagne, as well as the 50 rows behind him. Henley could not be reached for comment as he was busy paying $28 for in-flight Wi-Fi so that he could continue impressing everyone during his 11-hour flight.
Good for that guy.
And that was all the news you missed this week, Jack.
Okay, well, thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Jack.
Brian.
Yes, Jack.
I am super excited because today we have another distinguished guest.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And he's from across the pond, as they say. He's a big, I think he's got some royal blood or...
I don't know any protocol with royalty.
I don't know.
I'm very nervous, actually.
I think we have to take two steps back.
I feel like I should leave.
No. Yeah, so big surprise. So go ahead and what do you have, like a spelling bee or something?
No.
You're a tugboat captain this week? You're
nope.
Going to leave?
No.
Okay, well, just do your thing where you just leave the show and for me to interview the guy.
I'm going to stay.
Excuse me?
I don't need to leave.
No, for like your tugboat course?
I don't have to leave, Jack. Why do you want me to leave?
You're going to inflate some...
I don't. I don't know why you're making me leave. I don't want to leave. I want to stay and I'll talk to Winston.
Well, then let's introduce him. Well, you've never introduced a guest, so why don't you try it?
Sure.
Okay.
We're very excited to speak with our guest, mm-hmm. Winston Chelsea, who is from the United Kingdom of England.
Okay, you didn't need to say that last part.
Oh. welcome, Mr. Chelsea. I don't know how to address you. How do I do that?
You were correct in thinking that it was Sir. I'm Sir Winston Chelsea.
See? Wow.
And I'm delighted to be at what I assume is the BBC equivalent of the United States. Just exactly what I thought it would be. Thank you.
It's very similar to the BBC. Yes.
Delighted to be here. Fine to meet both of you, Brian and Jack, and good to be on your program.
Thank you for coming. I mean, that's a schlep, as they say in New York.
I was over in the States for I'm part of a conference that promotes the restoration of the Plantagenet dynasty and does some cosplay, and I thought that I would just nip by and talk to you.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you, and I love Jack's a huge fan of the Plantagenet dynasty, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear that.
And Brian's a big fan of cosplay.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yes, good. I'm glad, delighted then.
So tell us about what you're doing at this conference.
Well, I don't want to elaborate too much on this, but I am part of the, the upper class of the United Kingdom. And as part of being there, eventually when my great uncle will die, and that I hope that there's some time in the future, I will become a member of the House of Lords. And when that happens, I will be in favor of restoring the Plantagenet dynasty so that when my uncle dies, I will become the fourth Earl of Marlbury upon Clitoris. And so I will be a lord. I will be a member of peers. Now, according to British law at this time, I shan't be in the House of Lords because the Blair administration got rid of hereditary peers. However, I think that could be restored very easily. And if not, I could be added to the House of Lords in my own right. And I think I might be.
Just real quick, back up real quick. The name of where you're from again?
Marbury upon Clitoris.
Okay. How do you find that?
It's difficult to find. If you're going on the A9, it's almost impossible to find. Really, your best course of action is to drive slowly and perhaps circle it a number of times. But if you ask multiple people involved, and I recommend that you do, everyone's quite friendly and they'll help you stumble onto it.
You know, at the end of the day, I think I just realized that I don't care where it is.
Okay.
I mean, I care about our guests, but I don't think I care where that is.
Where Marlbury upon Clitoris is?
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere in the beautiful countryside.
It's a delightful, you would love it. Marlbury upon Clitoris is one of the greatest places in the United Kingdom.
So the House of Lords, how many lords are in the House of Lords?
There's 352 lords.
That's a lot of lords.
Yes, and not all of them are always there. However, that is the official amount in the House of Lords at any given time. And quorum is 180 according to British law.
And so what does the House of Lords do? What sort of power do they have to affect change in the United Kingdom?
Avian law, any law involving birds comes from the House of Lords.
No kidding.
Any law involving taxonomy comes from the House of Lords. So if you wanted
taxonomy,
if you wanted to redesign or rename anything in the United Kingdom, that comes through the House of Lords.
Taxonomy. He didn't say taxonomy.
Oh, okay.
No, not taxes.
He heard something else.
Taxonomy. It's a cooling chamber. You know, it's where you think about things there. This is relevant to you and your country. You can involve impeachment again. No, we wouldn't call it that, but you could remove a member. You could remove the Prime Minister from the House of Lords. That's possible.
So I know you didn't seem to have warm feelings about Tony Blair. What would the impeachment process be to remove someone like that?
I'm delighted you would ask that. You can get into impeachment proceedings if a member of the House of Lords is able to give gout to the Prime Minister. Now, this is an important mechanism. So the Prime Minister is the head of the United Kingdom. Yes? Mm-hmm. If the Prime Minister comes down with gout, already eligible for impeachment. And so if a member of the House of Lords is able to wine and dine them and give them sufficient amount of goose or liqueur or whatever it is, they are automatically up for impeachment. And this happened in 1982 with Sir Ian Alexander Holmes. He was captured and kept in a basement for 4.5 months where somebody force-fed him goose liver. And automatically, when he developed gout, he was up for impeachment.
That's a turning of the tables. The human being force-fed goose liver.
It really is. How much goose do you typically have to eat in order to get gout? In your experience?
I mean, Yorkshireman can really sustain it. If you bring Welshman, it's about 50% as much. I'd say about, I don't know the U.S. conversion, but about 900 grams.
That's a lot of
grams. It seems like it'd be a lot of
900 grams of goose.
Of anything is bad. I don't know. Metric is kind of, weird.
It's a very unfriendly bird. How do you capture the goose to then feed it to the? Is there a?
Well, the Queen actually owns all of the geese.
No kidding.
In the United Kingdom, she owns all the geese and all of the swine, which is the plural of swans in the United Kingdom.
And they're
very orderly. They actually do not fly in the United Kingdom. If you capture them and you're able to prep them, I think the more interesting thing is you've heard of Churchill.
Yes.
Winston
Churchill.
I read the last line.
Named. Good job, Brian.
He's my namesake. So Winston Churchill, he was our prime minister.
Yes.
He lost an election.
Yep.
You know this.
Yes.
He came back. Did you know that?
Yes.
He was prime minister. So what you probably don't know is that according to British law, if you are a prime minister and you lose the election, if you can sneak back into the House of Commons,
really?
You automatically become the prime minister. So Winston Churchill and another member who I don't recall the name of, they put on a horse costume and were able to sneak back into the House of Commons. Everyone just assumed it was a horse grazing. But because they managed to get in, they automatically became prime minister.
No kidding. Now, is this, do I remember correctly that in like 2003 or so, Borat became prime minister for a little while under this law?
Borat did briefly. Sacha Baron Cohen. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Cohen, yeah.
Yes. He pretended to be selling popcorn, which sometimes happens. And he came, but he managed to get in. And that did not automatically make him prime minister, but it did enable him to be a member of the House of Commons.
Oh.
And he was briefly prime minister, and then he was ousted, and then he came back, and then he left again. Now Boris Johnson's the current prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me your opinion of him as a noble person?
Yes. Well, so Boris, he's from the right group, if you know what I mean. He's part of the upper crust. I like that.
Is he? Because he looks like kind of sloppy.
Yes. So there's a term that you all would be well to learn in the United States. It's called overbred. Are you familiar with this term?
Overbred.
Overbred, yes. So inbreeding is what poor people do when they have sex with their cousins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Overbreeding is the same thing for people of substance.
Ah.
Yes. Oh. Boris Johnson would be overbred, as would many of the greatest deal of the United Kingdom. Boris is fine. I wish that he would lean a bit more into, he's too much a man of the people. And I feel like we've tried that. It didn't work very well, which is actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was you're about to impeach your president. I don't know how that will work out.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I, like, if it doesn't work, I can tell you what you would need to do in order to join the United Kingdom.
I actually would like to know how to join. Yeah, if everything goes south here, I want to know how we bring the U.S. back to the United Kingdom.
Yes.
So you guys forgive us.
So you're talking about bringing the entire country back into the English fold as, a colony of...
Yeah.
I'm aware that you've been to the moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Many times.
Yes, wonderful. If you wish to rejoin the empire, you will have to retrieve your flag from the moon and put up a Union Jack.
In fairness, at this point, the flag that was placed there has been bleached by ultraviolet rays, so it is white.
Oh, so it's a...
French.
A French flag, yes. Well done, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Excellent. Immediately in favor of you. I spoke to Lord Somerset before I left. You don't have to drive on the left side of the road.
Good, because that would be really difficult.
We believe it'd be obstreperous, or as you would say, difficult.
Yeah, that's a better word.
What we've thought is you do have to have cars with the steering wheel on the right side of the car. You may drive on whichever side of the road you prefer, but the steering wheel must be on the right side of the car.
That seems problematic.
Well, it seems arbitrary more to me than problematic.
Or both. Problematary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or arblematic.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty thing.
That's probably a British word.
Anything else? You need to adopt the British calendar. So there's Boxing Day. Do you celebrate that?
That's the day after Christmas.
Yes.
The 26th of December.
You must fight each other. You must fight each other. There's boxing involved. There's St. Crispin's Day. There's the Queen's birthday. There's the Queen's fake birthday. There's also Pancake Day.
Wait, is that like Kwanzaa, like a fake holiday?
It's more like a quantum birthday.
Okay.
So we don't, she is both simultaneously born and not born. The British were very much ahead of everyone.
She's Schrodinger's queen.
Yes, exactly. And no cannons. That's it.
No cannons?
Yes, you can't have any cannons.
Why not?
But because you made a mess with them previously. Firing your cannons everywhere.
One moment. I need to discuss something with Jack.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't care about cannons. We have aircraft carriers and missiles.
Yeah, but use it as a negotiating point. Don't give it up until like we get something back.
We have drones and everything.
All right, we'll just blow the shit out of them if we need to. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If you insist, we'll do the cannon thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No cannons.
Uh-huh.
All right. In that case, then. All right. Good. Well, I actually thought that was going to be something interesting.
No, not
that
a problem.
One of the bigger concerns, really.
No.
Well, I mean, just know that we were, you know, easygoing there, and you know, maybe someday we'll need something back.
Don't like cannons.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that's it.
You know, 80% of households with a cannon have the cannon used against them instead of an intruder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've read that statistic as well. Yes.
Yeah. We have so many stories that come up in the news where a cat, like a 5-year-old, you know, accidentally shoots himself with a cannon. It's like, man, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah.
Again, getting a little more into your backstory personally, how much inbreeding brought you into this world?
I took 23andMe and my family tree looked like a vase. There was a forking moment, and then it came right back up again. And I thought, what an efficient way to run a family. Vertical integration there. And yeah, that's about it, isn't it?
It's true. In England, it's just called 3andMe, right?
Yes, it's called 3andMe. Yes, that's true. Yes.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
you'd be rather careful about who you want to date unless you're trying to establish a dynasty.
Oh, okay. Neat.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. Your eyes are so close together, it's like you only have one eye.
Well, of the two, yes. But you don't know that there's a third one. And if you think about the range of... Yes, well, there's... because evolution could go in many ways. Evolution could go in some sort of fascinating deviation that involves, you know, some sort of, you know, adapting to a situation. Or it could just be a mutation. From doubling down on good, tried and true, bread and butter British genes. And that is what I and most of the House of Lords have been doing.
Huh. Okay. Well, good on you.
Yeah.
Like, you look at some of your celebrities. Like, I don't, who's an attractive celebrity in your country?
Brian's favorite, Kate Upton.
Oh, Kate Upton.
Kate Upton.
How many teeth does she have?
All of them.
That just seems rather proletariat, doesn't it? I mean, wouldn't it be better to have... If you could take Kate Upton and you could make her face maybe, I don't know, 60% smaller, wouldn't that be better, don't you think?
Sure. I mean...
I don't know. Maybe Brian and I will disagree on this one.
This might be something when you're readmitted to the United Kingdom. Imagine Kate Upton. Yeah. Now imagine she looks more like a rake. Now imagine that her teeth... are about 40% longer and could potentially open a can of soda. That would be the ideal in our system.
Okay.
It's something you're going to get used to. I will get used to it. It's like the metric system. It seems weird at first, and then after a while, you're like, okay, grams, sure, yeah.
Okay.
Kilo, whatever.
I guess so. This is useful information for our listeners.
And you probably
appreciate this.
You're looking at, you look at attractiveness as some absurd system of like symmetry, and weight to body ratio. Mm. For us, it's just how many hyphens do you have in your name? So if it's Kate Upton upon Sinclair upon Marston Clitoris, then very attractive.
Right.
But if it's just Kate Upton, I mean, what is that? British noises.
Did you say British noises and then just mumble?
Yeah. Well, no, I gave you a good example. And what you were supposed to do is just sort of acknowledge it and move on.
Okay, because it feels like, good. I mean, we'll play it back, but it felt like there were no words in there.
That's what happened, but it's a
tent. Not saying things.
Bowling thing. This is the violent.
Yeah, sure.
Got
that.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're our guest.
And forever thing. Pleasantry sing.
Well, yeah, I would think so.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
America is very obsessed with the royal family. It's royal news, royal news, royal news. And I think a lot of people would be really interested in hearing the actual way that the Princess Diana was killed, if you wanted to sort of share that story.
Oh, shall I, really?
Yeah, please.
Do you know what autoerotic asphyxiation is?
Of course. The guy from In Excess.
That was it. I mean, 100%. We don't usually talk about this, but yes, it was autoerotic asphyxiation.
In the car, like literal autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, and she was driving. Okay. Which is the reason we don't talk about it. That was a very irresponsible thing to do.
Absolutely.
Now, autoerotic asphyxiation is how most of us reproduce. So, I mean, that's fine. But if you're going to do it, don't drive, right, for the love of God, and don't do it in France.
Wow.
My goodness.
Really a delightful woman in every other respect. But let us down a bit in that regard. We all like the new duchesses, Meghan, nay Marple. And Kate, nay, who was?
Middleton.
Middleton, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Who's a commoner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't Meghan Markle as well, right?
I mean, yeah. The royal family. They're all doing good.
You think it's good to bring in new blood into the whole royal system?
No, of course not. The whole purpose of the United, I don't know what the American experiment, the whole purpose of the United Kingdom and the whole purpose of Europe was to eventually render and twain the species so there'd be royals and humans. Uh-huh. And that we was going stunningly. And now all of a sudden we're merging back in. Well, what's that going to do? Great. We were so close to making a Habsburg species, and that's not going to happen now. War didn't really start until dynastic marriages stopped. Mm. So when dynastic marriages were happening, you didn't have a lot of wars.
Because you would marry someone to another country, and you'd be friends with that country.
Which is why Europe was at peace for quite some time, the Pax Europa. In the United States, you have a different president coming in every 4 years, and the presidents aren't marrying each other. So in the UK, if you're a part of the upper class, as I am, you're meant to marry someone to mitigate strife with other members of noble houses, which is what I did because, I thought, do it for England and try and mitigate strife. Now, we can't duel using guns. We can only duel using swords, but I've not had to because I've married the enemy of my family.
What's her backstory?
House Castleton. House Castleton.
From
House Castleton is from Northern England.
No, okay.
And I'm from the home counties. The beautiful South. The good part of England. Good. And my family, the Marlborough upon Clitoris family, was against the Castletons for millennia. They would come down to our estates, and they would come up to the door, to the drawbridge, and they would light a bag of dog shite on fire. Mm-hmm. You see, they would light that on fire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we being good people, we would open the door, and we would try and put out that fire
with.
We would order our servants to do it. We would say, servants, go outside. Go outside and sip all the flaming bag of dog shit. Uh-huh. And they would do it. Now, at that point, all of the Castletons would charge in and just murder everyone. Oh, just murder them.
Terrible.
And with piano wire, which is not even very efficient. It was just a terrible, terrible. First, the vandalism, and secondly, the garroting, just terrible.
Terrible.
And that went on well into the 1960s.
Wow.
And so I'm 24, so I was born in the 90s.
95.
Wow. I was born in 95. Wow. And I thought, it's time to end this. It's time to end this. And if we can mate and produce viable offspring, then they will usher in peace.
What age did you get married?
17.
Oh, very nice. 17, and how old was she?
14.
Oh,
wow. I have a question. So the whole idea of getting a bride you've never really met before is very intriguing to me.
Still haven't
met her.
No. She's been on a gap year.
Okay, so if we go back to England, you guys take us back. Mm-hmm. We have our constitution. We're going to get rid of that. What's better about your constitution, if you even have one? I don't know what you have.
It's a great question. It's
not Magna Carta. I don't know what you guys are working on.
We have an unwritten constitution.
Oh, okay.
Which is a benefit because it means whatever we want, right? So you have to do whatever is written in your
thing. We're slaves to the words, right?
Yeah. We have to go to Denny's on Tuesday, whatever you people have. So our constitution is very open. I think I mentioned the thing about wigs earlier. You don't even have wigs.
Powdered wigs.
Yeah, we still get those. So you get powdered wigs. What are some of the other many fashion choices that are not available to you. We still have knickers, which are, you know, like breechings that come up to your legs. Mm-hmm. So like tights.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What are the other things? We have more days off than you do.
That's for sure.
So yeah. You don't have St. Crispin's Day off, do you?
No, we don't even have St. Crispin.
Oh, okay. Well, then you get more saints, but you can't like them because they're Catholic.
Right.
So you have many saints and you must respect them, but you can't like them.
All right.
Let's see. We have more planets than you do.
You have more planets?
Yes, because you don't have Pluto.
We have 8 plus Pluto is kind of like a maybe planet.
Yes, we have Pluto, Cornelius. Augustine, and Horsted. So that's 4 additional planets that you don't have.
Horsted.
Our zodiac is far better than yours.
Really?
Much more advanced than yours. Yes.
Is that because your planets mated with each other and created new planets?
That's correct. Our planets decided to avoid conflict by breeding with one another and produce more moons. Yes, that's correct.
So tell me about Tilsby upon Clitoris, because I know the Romans had been in England.
Marbury upon Clitoris. Oh. Tilsbury upon Clitoris is a shithole. Oh, I hate that place.
I'm sorry.
I don't like that place. I never go there at all.
Hmm. Marbury upon Clitoris. So you have any Roman ruins there? Anything that we're seeing if we go visit?
They established many vomitoriums.
Oh.
And so you probably know that the Romans would eat to excess and vomit. In fact, most of Roman history that we know is from things that the Italians, the ancient Italians, the Romans, vomited into these sewers there. Almost all of Roman history is things that were found that they regurgitated. Huh. Notes, things like that, forks, a lot of pottery.
Isn't that where you found Mr. Bean?
Yes. Mr. Bean was, in fact, he was a foundling.
Oh, is that what they're called?
He was a foundling, yes. Huh. He was found floating in a... this is another variation. He was found floating in a what we call a pram.
Baby carriage.
What you would call a
stroller.
Low-grade stroller.
Low-grade, right, yes, of course.
Because the ranking already been. Mm-hmm. So, but in our country, he became a comedian. In your country, the equivalent became the Penguin. So in our country, he became a delightful British comedian. Yours took over Gotham.
Right?
So there's more of a militaristic bent to you. And ours just got with a program and joined the Footlights, which is a delightful Cambridge group. Yours never did that.
How interesting.
Yeah. God, they have so much history.
You talked about the two towns, one that was an asshole.
Yes.
And the other one that was nice. They sounded very similar. What's the difference between the nice town or village? I'm not sure which it was. I apologize. And the not so nice one.
Tilsbury upon Clitoris is the not nice place. And Malmesbury?
Marbury upon Clitoris. Lovely place.
Lovely.
Okay. Lovely place. I actually proposed to my wife ex officio at a vomitorium there. Huh. So she had a representative. Uh-huh. He was very gracious, very gracious.
And
we both commented on the romantic nature of it. It was absolutely wonderful. Now, Tilsbury upon Clitoris, it's rough. It's very rough.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So do you have NEDs in your non-educated delinquents? Do you have those?
Yeah, well, they run the government at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, they as they do in Tilsbury upon Clitoris. It's a very rough city. A lot of brass knuckles, that kind of thing, you know. What are they? They've got. They don't have manhole covers. They have.
Now, why wouldn't they have manhole covers?
Yeah, that's
strange. That seems like a thing you would want to prevent people from falling in holes on the pavement.
Well, twofold. One, they sell it because they're thieving. Two, have you heard of, the Scots have, they have some game where they throw trees. Have you heard of this?
I was going to say curling. It's not curling.
Caber
toss. Yes.
Yes, they have manhole slinging. It has always been terrible. It was really... they were rooting for the Germans in World War II.
Really?
World War I.
That's very
strange. All of which, we all turned a blind eye. But then Korean War, rooting for the Germans. And we're like, they're not even participating.
They're not even fighting.
Wow. They're not even participating, right? Iraq, who are they rooting for? The Germans. Well, the Germans are with us this time, fellas. The Germans are on our side. But they're rooting for the Germans. And so they're very recalcitrant, which is a negative word that you'll learn eventually.
Yeah, no, that one, yeah.
So I can't wait to learn that when we become a...
It's a good one.
Yeah. Mm. That's neat.
What about tea?
So in the United States, I had tea over here. You get Twinings, which is good. Hats off. But you drink it just in a mug.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we also have suppositories. Supposities, as we call them.
Supposities.
Which are much more efficient.
Sure.
You wake up, good to go.
You don't burn your lips.
Right. You don't even need a stove.
That's interesting.
Or we would call it a hob. You don't need a hob, right? So you have that. And we also have certain we poultices, as we would call that. So you all, when you go to your dinners, you're trying to get away with your smoking, you'll get some kind of nicotine patch, right. Like an eye patch that you put on your extended stomach. Mm-hmm. And that gives you sufficient nicotine that you don't have to smoke anymore. Right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a poultice, which is similar to that, only put on by a pharmacist. And the poultice has caffeine in it from tea. And and so that's there. Actually, we have USB tea that you can do.
USB tea?
USB tea. There are ports available to British people that they can put in their body. And you when you get a USB port, you're able to put in the tea and then download it into your bloodstream.
Wow. That's really fascinating. So advanced. Now, do you think maybe we could just take corn syrup, heat it up, and call that like American tea?
Or tequila.
No, I don't think I don't think that would be.
For a second, I thought he was considering it, but apparently I think it was just a lot of disdain.
Not even at all. You're correct in inferring the dripping disdain that I have.
Jeepers,
the only good thing about your admission to the United Kingdom is that it gives the Welsh somewhere to go up. Like once you're here, the Welsh are now one step up the stepladder.
That feels insulting almost.
Yeah. If I knew better, I'd be insulted.
I feel like we bring something to the table.
We must.
And we've got gusto.
Yes. We've got gusto. Very volume is impressive.
Volume. We have impressive volume.
Volume is impressive.
Monolingual. Yeah. We're monolingual.
Yeah, yeah. which actually we do appreciate.
Yeah.
We do appreciate that. If a lot of cows were to get lost in the United Kingdom, you'd be of great use then.
Right. Yeah, we can round them up.
You would come with your lasso. And you'd sling it out and rodeo the cows. And that would be good. So the moment you come in, these poor cockneys and scousers and things like that, basically chimney sweeps, do you have them over here? Our chimney sweeps become middle class the moment you enter the equation.
Wow.
And they thank you.
Sorry, I have a question. It's a serious one. Where were you when Benny Hill died?
Oh boy. If you don't want to talk about it, it's okay. But I would
fine.
Love to know this as well.
The sad thing is that he died from autoerotic asphyxiation.
Really?
God, yes. Everybody.
Well, so you have the opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. We have autoerotic asphyxiation, which is the most common way of death.
It's the most common
in the UK.
It actually is the most. It actually outpaces heart attacks.
Wow.
And we wouldn't have it any other way. Benny Hill died. It was terribly sad. His funeral in particular was just disturbing because we couldn't nail down the coffin. It just kept popping up and chasing around. And at one point there was a bear and an attractive young blonde woman and a policeman because the policeman, I think, left his keys in the coffin. I don't know. The whole thing was very, very difficult for the British people as a whole. But we eventually did shoot all of those people. They were all shot. All of them were buried. And it's been put to rest.
Thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any sort of final thought that you would like to leave us or perhaps all of America?
Make your pitch for the United States coming back to England.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. And I'm delighted to be here. I think John Major, when he got from Margaret Thatcher, when they went to the moon, and he's out of the astronauts. The freedom, Hessian values of even Tuesday. How the Hamdens and Loftus. And that, I think, is being all done.
Wow.
Cool. We'd love to join.
That
Thank
sounds
you
great.
For the offer.
I would take it up.
Yep.
Thank you for joining our program.
And it was delightful to be here. And I just want to say how much I enjoy American donkeys and jugs full of liquor and spittoons and things of that nature. How just quaint I find your country and how you know, uneducated but redeemingly friendly everyone's been, and it's been a delightful time. I've really enjoyed it, and just it's good times all around.
Well, Jack, that was an episode of Questionable Material.
It really was.
Hey, everybody, go to the website, qmpodcast.com. Sign up for the newsletter. It's worth it. Subscribe to the podcast. What else, Jack?
Did you say the thing about the newsletter?
Yeah, sign up for the newsletter.
Did you say about going to the website?
Yeah, go to the website.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. The role of Sir Winston Chelsea of Marbury upon Clitoris was played by the podcaster and comedian Andrew Heaton. He has two podcasts, The Political Orphanage and Alienating the Audience, both very entertaining, and you should subscribe to them after you've subscribed to us.